We want to look at one text of Scripture this evening. It's found in verse 10 of the passage that we read this night. Verse 10 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here, beloved, is one of those tremendous statements concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many statements there are in the Bible concerning Christ. And many of them stand up almost on their own to highlight, to manifest, to declare what a tremendous person the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is, and the Lord Jesus Christ was. As I think of the beginning of the year, is there a better text? Is there a greater text? Is there another text that you and I could look at that would so tremendously tell us about Jesus, tell us about his mission, tell us about his power, and say to all and sundry, look unto him and be ye saved, all ye ends of the world. And yet when you look at the text, it's set within context of the salvation that came to Zacchaeus, of that work of the Lord Jesus Christ to the person and for the person of the man by the name of Zacchaeus. And we realize that it was a statement that Christ made. There are statements of Christ in the Bible, but not often do we find that the Lord Jesus Christ makes statements about himself. He says, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Indeed, he tells us that I indeed am come that you might have life. But yet, those statements that Christ personally make, they're not in the majority. But what value they do give to us. What weight they do carry when the Son of God sets those statements concerning himself before the multitude. He often is remarking. He often is speaking, as it were, rebuking those who challenge him, who challenge his person, who challenge his authority. And such is the case here, because when he worked in the life, in the heart, in the soul of Zacchaeus, there were those, the Bible says, and they mumbled and they murmured, and they said, he is gone to be with a sinner. And Christ said that the Son of God, the Son of Man, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was telling us indeed his work, his mission upon earth. Beloved, I want to look at this statement. I want to look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said by looking at the context, by looking at the verses that we have read together. And I want you to notice several things. I want you to notice, first of all, the character of Zacchaeus. The character of Zacchaeus. You see, the Word of God simply introduces us to Zacchaeus. It tells us in verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. You know, there's many tremendous things there that are found in God's word. For instance, if you look at verse 1, it says that Jesus entered and passed through. And you will find that on the occasions when the Lord came near to Jericho, that's exactly what he did, that he entered and he passed through. And one of the reasons is simple. It is there because the city of Jericho, when it was destroyed by God, before the Israelites, a curse was placed upon that city, that the individual who would build it, that his first child would die when that work began, that his youngest child would die whenever that work was completed. It was a city in its new resurrection and its new building up that had upon it the curse of God. And often you will find that Christ is coming and he's going through the city of Jericho. But even as we look this morning in another passage, the Lord needed to go to Jericho for this special occasion, for the occasion of the salvation of Zacchaeus. And thus, when we read these verses, we realize that the Bible, through Dr. Luke, he is developing, he is describing, he is setting before us the character of Zacchaeus. I want you to notice three things about him. I want you to notice, beloved, that he was a chief person. The Word of God says there, and behold, verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. In many ways, we could look at this individual, and you and I can say he wasn't a commoner, but rather the opposite. Yes, he worked for the Roman government. Yes, he was a man, and it was his duty to be. You know, I have to stop for a moment, because I always remember when I speak of a publican, about one occasion when I was in my church in the very early days of those 30 years, that I was preaching on Zacchaeus. And there was a man from Ballymena congregation, you know, where they're well taught and well instructed. And well, I remember sitting there and had preached, and the man said to me, he said, "Could you tell me what a publican is?" And I looked at him. I said, "So you know what a publican is?" "Oh," he says, "I know, but do the people know?" And it made me think for a moment, because you might be thinking what he was addressing my attention to, that many people, when they look at the word publican in the scriptures, they think of a seller of wine, a seller of drink. They think of someone that owns a bar. Well, that's not the case. A publican was a tax collector. He was a taxman. And here we find that he was not only a tax collector, but he was the chief among them. And they were hated, they were despised. And one of the reasons was that they worked for an alien government, and they took the taxes off the people. And when they were taxing the people, they put a heavy levy upon it for themselves. And we can note how successful he was, and that he was the chief publican, and the Bible says, and he was rich. And he was rich. But thank God tonight that you and I can say that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to come to seek and to save that which was lost, the chief ones, the middle ones, the bottom ones, for Jesus himself is mighty to save. I don't know where you stand on the rung of society. I don't know why you're a wealthy or poor man. I don't know whether you're famous or infamous. I don't know if you're a person of notoriety, or indeed just like the minister behind me. But I can say to you this evening that whoever you are, Jesus is interested in your soul. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a message. What a message for Londonderry. What a message for this gospel service, that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And beloved, you fit in. You come into the category not only of a person like Zacchaeus, but indeed of any person. Because every man and woman born of Adam is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Notice something else, that not only was he a chief person, but you will notice as well he was a curious person. Because if you look at the Bible here, it says concerning him, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. He was curious about this man, Jesus of Nazareth. How often, beloved, you and I have read in the Bible how that when the Lord preached, multitudes came to hear him. How that when walking down the streets, there were crowds. How that when he went to minister in a house, there were crowds. How did it happen? Was it the power of oratory? Was it the power of his healing ministry? Of course, those things come into it. But one of the things that made it happen was he was talked about. That many people related the stories, the experiences, the things that they heard, the things that they saw concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did that do? It made people wonder. It made people curious about the Son of God. And Zacchaeus had heard, obviously, about Christ. And here we find him, and here is an individual that has become so curious that he's seeking the seeking Savior, that he's looking for the one looking for him. And here he is, and he's coming to see Jesus, who he was. Beloved, I hope and pray that God gives you a curiosity regarding Christ. That you will come often to God's house here. That you will talk to the minister. That you will talk to others in your family or in this church that know Christ. And that you'll be asking them, who is Jesus? What is it about this man that you're so thrilled about, that you're so in love with, and you'll ask about Jesus? I love that little hymn where it says, more about Jesus would I know. More about Jesus would I know. Tell me, beloved, have you a curiosity? Have you an interest? Have you a desire within your heart? I want to know about this man by the name of Jesus. Zacchaeus was very interested. He was very curious regarding the person of the Son of God. But notice, not only was he a chief person and a curious person, but he was a contained person. In other words, he was held down. Because if you look at the next verse, it says he could not see him for the press because he was little of stature. He was little of stature. Here was this multitude. The Bible describes him there as the press. You know, that brings a lot of little thoughts. Oh, you could be silly and say, well, there must have been newspaper men. And the press was there taking photographs. And the press was there taking notes about Jesus, what he was saying and what the crowd was doing. You know why the press gets in your way of a good photograph? But I feel that the word press here, more was speaking about the multitude, that they were so interested, and there were so many of them, you could hardly see Christ. They were pushing, they were cajoling about, they were getting in the way, and here was a wee man, here was a small man, and he was so small, he couldn't even see Jesus. He couldn't even look over the shoulders of the individual to get to see the Son of God. He was contained in his position. You know, beloved, the devil loves to hold you back. The devil loves to stop you from coming to the Lord, from hearing the gospel, from coming under the influence of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to relate my testimony, but I remember the time when God was dealing with my heart. And especially the day I got saved, that afternoon, there was an incident happened to me that someone said to me, I hear you're going to get saved, in front of a crowd of people. Do you know something? The devil was at work. The devil was seeking to stop me from coming to Jesus. The press was containing my longing, my desire, my wanting to be saved. It was trying to stop me. It was containing me. Are you there tonight? How often have you sat under the man of God in this pulpit? How often have you heard him faithfully preaching and pleading for your soul? How often have you heard him instructing and inviting and guiding you and pleading with you to come to Christ? But you've been contained. You've been held down. You've been held back. There's been some obstacle or obstacles that the world and the flesh and the devil has put in your way. Then you're Zacchaeus. Then you're like this individual here. You are being held back. I remember the story of a preacher one time when he was out in Africa, and he had very successful meetings there, and there were some of those colored people that got saved by God's grace. And one day the preacher got up and he announced his text. He says, I want to speak in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he announced that to the crowd, to the congregation. And just at the back of the hall, one of the little colored individuals, he said, Massa, in other words, Master, could you repeat that again? That's wonderful news. It thrills my heart. Beloved, that's the gospel. That's the message tonight, that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save. Let me put it, you. Christ has come seeking your salvation, seeking to draw you to a saving knowledge in Christ. If these characteristics of Zacchaeus, if they fit, beloved, God's working in you. God's speaking to your heart. But I want you to notice not only the character of Zacchaeus, but notice secondly the call to Zacchaeus. If you look at verse 5 here, the Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. In other words, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, called. He called out to Zacchaeus. He called this little man stuck up in a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus, so that he could see the Son of God, the Son of Man. And Jesus called him. Notice something about this call. First of all, it was a glorious revelation. I wonder if you ever thought of this here. Here was a little man, and I've done the characteristic. He was small of stature. He was a chief publican. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And this crowd stopped him. This crowd was holding him back. So with his little feet, his little legs, he ran in front of the crowd. And he came to a sycamore tree. I believe a large sycamore tree. And he scampered, as we would say in Ulster, he scampered up that tree until a good level, and maybe a lot of bushes, maybe a lot of leaves, maybe a lot of branches, and he was sitting up there, and maybe he was barely in view, but he could see everything. He could see the Lord approaching. He could see the Son of God coming up that road as Christ entered and left Jericho. And suddenly, as Christ was walking, thronged with the multitude, Jesus stopped. The Son of Man, the parade, the walking, it came to a halt, and he stopped and he looked up. What a revelation. You see, beloved, the revelation here is that this little insignificant individual, Jesus knew who he was. The Lord Jesus Christ knew where he was. And he stopped at the right spot, at the right place, and he looked up to Zacchaeus, and he spoke to him. What a revelation of Christ. The sovereign Lord, he who seeth, he who knoweth all things, and that is revealed to you and I. You know, beloved, The Lord Jesus Christ knows everything about us. In fact, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And I believe in my heart and my soul, he knows where you are tonight. He knows that you are in Londonderry, Free Presbyterian Church. He knows the pew you're sitting on. And he knows exactly where on that pew you are sitting. And by his Spirit, by his grace, he has come to Londonderry tonight. He has come to the pew where you are sitting. And he's come, beloved, and by his Holy Spirit, he's speaking to you where you are, where you're standing, where you're sitting, where you're hiding. He sees you exactly. You know, so many people, when they're challenged with the gospel, they try to hide. Do you remember a man by the name of Adam? The Bible says that when God created Adam and Eve, they were naked. And they weren't embarrassed because sin had not entered into the world. And then they sinned and they realized their nakedness. And when they heard the voice of God coming into the garden in the cool of the day, by embarrassment and by the realization that they had sinned, they ran to hide from Jesus. But God walking in the garden, oh yes, he used the words, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" That wasn't an inquisitive God who didn't know where Adam and Eve were. That was a God challenging a person who was fleeing, trying to hide. He knew exactly the condition, the state, the standing of Adam and Eve. He knew where they were hiding. He knew they'd sewed together those fig leaves for aprons to cover their nakedness. He knew where they were. And God spoke to them. And oh, beloved, how many of us tonight, how many within the confines of this church who are saved by God's grace can remember how Christ came to us. How that the Spirit of God revealed unto us his knowledge of us, our standing before him, just like Zacchaeus, there was a glorious revelation. Oh, we may have tried to hide it. We may have said, "I'm not like others." We may have said, "No, I do this, and I go to church, and I pay into the church. I pay my tax," and so forth. But God says, "No, you have sinned. You have come short of the glory of God." Here is a glorious revelation. But notice also, there's not only a glorious revelation, there's a glorious invitation. For the Lord Jesus Christ stopped where he was. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide in thy house. A glorious, a tremendous, a wonderful invitation that the Son of Man, the eternal Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, the one that the multitude was following, the one who Zacchaeus was interested to find who he was, exactly about him, he stood there and he said, "Zacchaeus, come to me. Come to me." Isn't that the invitation of Scripture? The Bible says in Isaiah, chapter 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool." Isn't the same invitation set before us in Matthew? "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and weary, and I will give you rest." You know, many years ago, I used to be in the police reserve. They take anybody in them days. And I remember that Her Majesty was doing one of her visits over to Ulster. And she was holding a garden party with the then Secretary of State up at Hillsborough. I was called on duty like other reservists. And we were placed in Hillsborough Police Station. In reserve, they called it. So the reserve was in reserve. And I remember sitting there in the police station and sitting a crowd. I was drinking tea, eating sandwiches, whatever. And then suddenly a phone call came through. Right, you're needed up in the gardens. And so we were brought up in the police Landovers or whatever. And we were brought up and we were stationed at a certain place. In fact, it was the road that Her Majesty would be coming down in the Land Rover, getting out of and going into the helicopter to leave our province. Now, remember the inspector, his instruction was simple. He said, I don't want you to be seen. We want you to be there, but hide behind the trees. Took a big tree for me, didn't it? And there we were, hiding behind the trees. And when the Royal Land Rover came down, and Her Majesty got out, they used to, a nickname for the police? Well, it's Bobbies. But the police, affectionately, they call themselves Roberts. I've been a Robert since the day I was born. Even before I joined the police, I was a Robert. And I remember all the Roberts standing behind the trees, and Her Majesty, the door of the Land Rover was open, and she was stepping out, and here's a row of trees, and all of a sudden, the Roberts stood out, and so did Her Majesty. Do you know why? We were 3 or 4 feet away. We wanted to see the Queen of England. We wanted to be able to say, I was there. I was only this distance from the Queen. So all of the Roberts, instead of doing what they told, they stepped out. And I'm sure around many a cup of tea, these wee Roberts have been telling this story, how I stood near the Queen. Beloved, it was a wonderful day. But think of it. Here is not a mere queen. Here is not a mere queen, a mere king. But here is the Lord of glory. Here is God the Son. Here is the everlasting Savior. And he's inviting. What a glorious, what a wonderful invitation that he's inviting Zacchaeus. Beloved, that's what the Bible is to you. It's a glorious invitation from God. It is God the Father who is inviting, who is encouraging you to come and to be saved. A glorious revelation, a glorious invitation. But notice something else about this. There was a great urgency. There was a great urgency. Look at that verse 5 with me again, please. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Do you see the urgency? Make haste, Zacchaeus, for today and today only. Have you ever went into a shop and been looking at a suite of furniture? Or maybe what I said this morning about getting to buy a car and there's a sale on and the salesman has tried to bluff you. You know where they say to you, you know, this offer is only for today. You know, if you buy this today, I can give you an extra 5% off. And they're urging you. They're trying to press you into making the decision. You know, you go back next week. If you got your money in your pocket, let me tell you, you'll get the 5% off. You'll get the bargain, especially in today's situation. But that's not the same with salvation. The Bible teaches us clearly. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of God's salvation. The Bible says in Genesis that my spirit shall not always strive with man. Beloved, you could live another 5, another 10, another 20 years, but you may never hear God, Christ, inviting you and encouraging you to come to Christ. For the little verse says this, there is a time we know not when, a place we know not where man seals his eternal destiny for heaven or for despair. See, beloved, it's not your last opportunity when you're on your deathbed. It's not your last opportunity when that fatal illness comes to you. Yes, it can be, But your last opportunity to be saved, the last time that you could respond to the invitation of Christ, could be tonight, when you're young, when you're healthy, when there's nothing there that says you're going to die. God could be saying, I've invited, I've urged you, I've asked you before, and you've procrastinated, you've held back, you've said yes, some more convenient day. And God says, my spirit is no longer going to strive with you. And you could be here next week. You could be here in a month's time. You could be sitting under our brother's ministry for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Because after that he'd be retired like an old man like me. But you could be here for that length of time, and he could preach as God has helped him and used him in the past, doing it again. But you personally may never again have the opportunity. The Spirit of God may no longer strive with you. I remember some years ago when I wasn't long in Clock Mills, I was asked, would I go and see a man who was very ill in hospital? He was dying of cancer. And I remember going into that ward and then into the little cubicle private room where he was. And I can tell you, beloved, I did it in fear and trembling. Because I knew the man was very, very ill. I knew the man had not long to live. I'm not a doctor, but you don't need to be a doctor to know. And I remember on one occasion standing outside waiting to go in. And the nurses were running back and forth with those little spittoons. You know what the people would, excuse the word, would vomit or spit into and to carry them out. And they were running in and out, and they were filled, beloved. They were filled with blood. He was spitting or vomiting up blood. And this went on for 15 minutes. And I stood waiting to go in. And then the nurses, they're running in and out, it stopped. And then they come out. And one of them said, you'll get in a moment, Your Reverence. I said, that's okay, I'm happy to wait. And then a young doctor came out. I didn't in any way seek to be rude. But I said, sir, could I speak to you a moment? And here's the question I asked. I said, sir, how ill is this man? The doctor, a young doctor, he said these words, Your Reverence, it's like this. I've done my job. You need to do yours. You need to do yours. And I went in and I'd never really met the man before. And I talked to him. I opened the scriptures. And I unashamedly tell you, I begged that man to get saved, to come to Christ. He said, Your Reverence, I think you're right. I think what you have to say is true, but do you mind? I'm not feeling well today. Could you come in another couple of days when I mend up, when I get a bit better? I couldn't tell him what the doctor said, but I used other languages to tell him. I said, sir, you know, we may not have another day. I don't know if I can be back. I'm going away on my holidays, unfortunately, in 2 days. But look, would you not do it today? Oh, he said, son. Now you can tell that was a few years ago. He said, son, he said, let me tell you, you go away with your wee wife and your wee family, and you have a wonderful holiday and come and see me. What a lovely little man. What a pleasant little man. But he was rejecting Christ. And I left that hospital ward, beloved, feeling an absolute failure, feeling so sad that I had went, yes, with urgency, with a desire for that man to come to Christ, and he wouldn't come. And oh, I many a time wonder what would have happened if I went back later that day. I wonder what he had changed an hour later. I went back when I came back from holiday. But he wasn't there. A time we know not when. A place we know not where. Where man seals his eternal destiny for heaven. And sadly, as far as I know, that man sealed his eternal destiny for despair. Beloved, how long have you to live? How long can you guarantee that? And even if you did, would you have another opportunity to get saved? The character of Zacchaeus, the call of Zacchaeus. But I want to show you finally, using, if you like, the words of this text here, I want you to notice the glorious character of Christ. We've been thinking of mainly about Zacchaeus, but look at what it says in verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Notice first of all that Christ was a discerning person. He knew that this man was up the tree. He knew the state of his heart. He knew the caliber and character of the individual, even though later on we read that these men are murmuring. And in verse 7 at the end of it, it says, with a man that is a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ knew all that. He knew about him, and yet he was interested in his soul. And oh, beloved, tonight, I don't care how deep died you are in sin. There is a Savior from all sin. If you'll only let him in. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows where you are. And he knows the need of your soul. Not only do you see a discerning person, you see a compassionate person. For I believe that the Lord, when he stopped, and when he spoke up to Zacchaeus, oh, we could use stern, we could use strong language. We could say the Lord said, get down here. No, he didn't. I believe with tender tones of love, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. For today, I must abide in your house. And just as we mentioned this morning about the Lord crying at the tomb of Lazarus, about the Lord crying over the people of Jerusalem, beloved, my Lord is compassionate over your soul. My Lord loves you. The Bible says here in his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us very clearly that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's all through Christ. It's not through the creed. It's not through good works. It's not through the church. Thank God to be in a church that's faithful to the Lord. To have a faithful pulpit and a faithful pastor behind it. But we are pointing like Paul did. Mr. Brown, Reverend Brown could say like Paul of old, we preach Christ and him crucified. For there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only Jesus can save you, beloved. And he is the compassionate Christ. Can I say he's not only the discerning person, the compassionate person, but yes, he is the saving person. Because notice what it says. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. To save that which is lost. It's a very interesting word, that isn't the word lost. How many people today are lost? And the Bible, you know, the Bible uses that word. Uses that word in interesting ways. We take one parable, and it talks about a woman who lost one of her coins. It talks about a shepherd who had 100 sheep and lost one of the sheep. We talk about a man who had 2 sons, and one of those was lost because he wandered away from his father. He went into the world and into the things of sin, and he was lost in his sin. But the glorious, the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that the Son of Man, yea, Jesus Christ, the eternal God the Son, has come. What a wonderful announcement that Christ has come and he's seeking to save that which is lost. Yes, you, beloved, you young person, You young man, you young woman, you middle-aged man, yea, woman, older person, Christ has come even to Londonderry Free Church tonight, and he's inviting, he's encouraging, he's calling you to come and to be saved, because tomorrow there may not just be that opportunity for your soul. I heard the story of an infidel, and he was mocking this man who was an alcoholic who had claimed he'd got saved. And he started to mock him. And one night the newfound believer was walking home, and the infidel saw him and he said, "Ha! You don't believe in the Bible? You don't really believe in Christ? Do you believe that he performs miracles like turning the water into wine? Don't tell me you're a fool like that." The young convert, who was an alcoholic before he came to Christ, he said, "Well, I believe it." He said, "I believe it with all my heart, with all my soul. In fact," he says, "hold on a minute, come on up to my house." And the infidel said, "Why do I want to go to your house?" He said, "Well, I can show you a miracle. In fact, several miracles. You can show me a miracle? What miracles?" He says, "Well, I can show you how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saved me, he turned beer into carpets on my floor. He turned beer into tables and chairs in my home. He turned beer into a wonderful suite of furniture that my children and my wife, they can sit on, they can lie on. It's all there for them. And you know why? Because Jesus came in." Oh, what a difference the Lord Jesus Christ does and can make to a soul who he saves. Beloved, you in all of your misery, you in all of your unhappiness, he can change your life completely and give you joy. Joy much more abundantly than everything and anything this world has to offer. Do you know what comes with it? Not only a beautiful, happy, joyful, peaceful life, but to know, like the words of a hymn, "It is well with my soul." Let me ask you one question in finishing. Before I ask it, let me just simply urge you and invite you to come to my Lord and to come to my Savior. What's the question? The question is simple. What will you do with the Lord Jesus? Will you take him? Will you receive him as your own and personal Savior? Beloved, start tonight to have the greatest time of your life by finding real joy and happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you come for Jesus' sake. Amen.